News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Well, Katie Britt, welcome to the limelight. Hope you enjoy your stay. I think she's going to be all right.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be all right, and I think she's going to, you know, here's the thing. Like, anytime you go down, when you go down, that's when all eyes are on you. What are you going to do now? And she at least acquitted herself pretty well on Fox yesterday, a day after, you know, she was, you could say, nationally disgraced or embarrassed by the skit on Saturday Night Live of her.
ScarJo.
Yeah, with Scarlett Johansson of all actresses doing the deed. But I never saw it. So I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. Her actual the Saturday Night Live skit. I haven't seen that, but it'll be interesting. I thought she acquitted herself very well yesterday on Fox.
I'll play part of it for you here. Here was the SNL cold open, which probably not many people saw live. I imagine.
Yeah, I think
a lot
you're
more
right.
People saw it.
Right
afterwards. Here's a
good evening. I'm Abby Filler.
They do a little Biden.
If you're just joining us, President Biden has finished delivering his State of the Union address. Biden needed to show energy to...
They basically said Biden was amazing. They made fun of him, of course,
yeah.
But everyone, oh, what a great speech. Here's the next
part. All in all, a strong speech from President Biden. But let's follow his advice and take a look at the Republican response from Alabama Junior Senator Katie Britt.
America, my name is Katie Britt, and I have the honor of serving the great people of Alabama. But tonight, I'll be auditioning for the part of Scary Mom. And I'll be performing an original monologue called This Country is Hell. You see, I'm not just a senator, I'm a wife. A mother and the craziest bitch in the Target parking lot. I'm worried about the future of our children, and this is why I've invited you into this strange, empty kitchen. Because Republicans wanted me to appeal to women voters, and women love kitchen.
So, and I apologize for the SNL language sneaking in there on me there, but you get the idea there.
Yeah.
And some of the responses from over the weekend, she gets praise from former President Donald Trump as he had a big rally in Georgia on Saturday. And let me see if I can find his exact wording. But he said she did a great job. She really portrayed a different view than what Biden did of America. Here it was. Katie Britt was a great contrast to angry and obviously very disturbed president. She was compassionate and caring, especially concerning women and women's issues. Her conversation on migrant crime was powerful and insightful. Great job, Katie. That's what Trump posted. She also got support from someone who she would probably rather not, as some of the folks here in Alabama are saying that Katie is too much in with the Richard Shelby kind of deep state thing, mm-hmm. right? Well, Mitt Romney supported her. He said, in a good way, the delivery was over the top and out of character. Biden's, of course, and Katie Britt's too. He said, the media overreaction to hers and not his tells us who liberals most fear as VP nominee. So you had SNL going after her. You had all these different network news. And then even Megyn Kelly, who has had a bit of a career shift / turnaround since she went at it with Trump back in O'Donnell statement 2016, I guess.
Yeah.
When they kind of went after each other in that debate, and then Megyn Kelly eventually leaves Fox and she has her own show now on Sirius, I believe. But Trump went after Kelly this weekend, saying that he thinks she's acting like she likes Trump just so she can be popular. But Kelly, regarding the Brit thing, said she embarrassed herself, she embarrassed the Republicans, and she embarrassed women. It was a disgrace. I was horrified by her performance, and I really think it's going to take her years to rebound from that performance. That's what Megyn Kelly said.
Yeah.
From the reaction I've seen from women, it's been about 50-50. A lot of women said
she portrayed the issues exactly how I see them, the exact same things I'm worried about for the future of our country. Maybe it was a bit over-dramatized, but still, she got her point across. And then, of course, about half of women are saying that the whole kitchen thing, it just is beyond me that Republicans want to put women back in the kitchens. That is the most ridiculous bunk I've ever heard.
That's not what was going on there. There was a former... Okay, so when it was Britt and Mo Brooks, Britt was on this radio station a good bit trying to get elected.
Right.
And Mo was too, but Katie was a newcomer, and there was an employee right here at our radio station. You would just hear them moaning, "I just cannot stand Katie Britt," and it had to do with her delivery.
Right.
This is something that not everyone is going to eat the candy and say that's swell with me.
Right.
Some people are like, "Just ease up a little, Katie. You know, you've got good intentions. You have good ideas. You understand the office. I think she's done some good things in D.C. She makes colleagues quickly. Colleagues become friends. So she's got some political talent. But we would agree, even, I think, that when we would hear her express herself sometimes, it would be a little bit like, easy.
Right.
So now the nation gets to see her do it without any pre-Katie Britt warning tag. So they don't have any idea what they're about to watch her here.
Right.
And I think there's the overreaction.
I think you're right. And
and I think knowing her, or Alabamians feeling more, you know, like, well, we know Katie, or we know where she's from. We understand. And just at this point, she's kind of forgiven for anything that kind of gets on your nerves. Like, she's proven to me anyway that she's pretty solid.
Yeah. I agree completely with that. As Pete says on the text line, Democrats can't rebut her message, so they attack the messenger.
Exactly. I mean, the message itself was fine.
Yeah, he said, ironic how Democrats like it when Dylan Mulvaney is girly, but not a real girl. And
that's pretty good.
And so, and I said this Friday as well, that what she was asked to do, Katie Britt, was, I mean, all the pressure was on her. She was asked to respond to Biden and do it on behalf of Republicans across the country. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot for her to live up to in that moment. And speaking, she's completely unpolished in that specific arena, sitting in a kitchen, staring into a camera with no one to bounce back off of.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got all these, you know, whoever was on the camera crew in there. It's just a different situation.
So, and did you hear that the people like, saying she was go ahead, finish your sentence.
Well, it's like having a college kicker, and his first kick in the NFL is a 50-yarder to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's like there's a lot on the line.
I agree.
It'd be more surprising if they hit it than didn't, which is probably what we should have gone into it with those kinds of expectations. But she was overly dramatic. There's no doubt about that. I think she would even maybe admit to that in private.
She defaulted to what she the way she if she's changed the way she expresses herself. I haven't noticed it. And so she just defaulted to what she normally does. Someone said that somebody mentioned maybe somebody on Jeff's show. She was overcoached. I wouldn't agree with that. I think she went. That's Katie Britt. That's what she's been. That's who she is. So was she the right lady for the job? She's catching all this. But when I see her yesterday back on the news shows, and she's composed.
Yeah.
And she's I mean, if you listen to the message and not the messenger, you're going to be fine.
Here was her direct response Friday night before the Scarlett Johansson SNL skit. She was on with Sean Hannity. Here's Britt when asked about the response she's gotten.
You know, Sean, last night I called people to get into the arena. And when you get in the arena, you get arrows. They get thrown at you. But it's worth it when you're fighting for the American people, when you are fighting to make sure that hardworking families, just like you said in your last segment, that they are seen, that they have a voice, that the things they're concerned about, that they're worried about, that we're actually talking about them. Things that we talk about around our kitchen table, Joe Biden seems to be detached from reality, and somebody needs to bring him back and quick.
And as several of you noted on the text line, she sounded better there.
She
right?
did. I mean,
but she's talking to Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity's talking about it's a kind of a different situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Katie Britt that we should get every time. That's the Katie Britt, that, you know, but when she's breathless and she seems to be over dramatic and almost like the difference would be in an interview or you doing a commercial for your campaign. In the commercial for a campaign, she could be that way. She mm-hmm. could be as she was in the response, just staring at a camera, saying the words, you know. But a more forceful Katy Britt and somebody who's just kind of communicates in a way that seems more natural to us.
Yeah.
That's a winning Katy Britt. And I think there's a lot of people who probably, through it all, through the embarrassment, if you want to call it that, I think in some circles it was, people are going to like her more. I think a lot of conservatives are going to double down and say, no, I like Katy Britt.
Once she starts getting hit like this, you'll start to see the team kind of settle around her to try to protect her.
Yeah.
Cindy said, I'm sure she's very smart, but come on, her kitchen? See, to me, this whole kitchen business, it's like I think Democrats and the national media are throwing these tennis balls and a lot of conservatives are running after them like dogs, mm-hmm. you know? The kitchen thing was so the reason she was in the kitchen, she explained it to start with.
Yeah.
She didn't say, oh, I just got done making a 7-course meal and I'm going to go feed the baby now. She said, this is where we have our difficult conversations, my family. That was the whole point, right? To show that she has a young family and she's worried about their future in America. She said, we're having this in the kitchen because this is where we have difficult conversations. Right now, America, it is time for a difficult conversation.
Yeah.
Democrats say, oh, Republicans are putting you back in the kitchen. You're barefoot and pregnant. And then a lot of what I thought were conservative women are saying, oh, man, I can't believe she's in the kitchen. We're talking about the border right now where tens, hundreds of thousands, millions of illegal immigrants from third world countries who, for the most part, don't provide a whole lot for America.
Right.
Except for taking our taxpayer money and living off of us. And you're worried about Katy Britt.
About the staging
about her in the kitchen. Where we're talking about a 41-year-old woman who is already a senator and is delivering the rebuttal to the State of the Union. I mean, you talk about chasing a tennis ball. You just fell for it right there. Exactly what the Democrats wanted. Same thing with her story about the woman who was, you know, kidnapped, trafficked, and raped by the cartel.
Yeah.
Now everyone's saying, oh, well, that actually happened 20 years ago. As if that same thing hasn't been happening for the last 20 years to a bunch of other young children.
That was the point of it all, right? And she said, and I'm going to play that clip just to, so on our way back, that, and then we'll put it to bed. But
yeah.
that she's catching a lot of heat, including from the New York Times, who said that she was trying to say that woman was sex trafficked and was blaming Biden on that specific case. But she wasn't.
Right.
But anyway, what do details matter anyway? And she'll explain herself after the break. It's 19 after 8. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Man, that is very sensitive to women's issues. David Preston's going to join us on the line here in just a moment. 8:24.
Yeah.
On Mobile Morning.
Talking this Katy Britt and the response and the response to the response.
Yeah.
And then, like Dan said, let's put this thing to bed here in this 9 o'clock hour until she's named vice presidential nominee. David, your thoughts?
Morning, guys. Dan,
morning,
you
buddy.
Must have had your Wheaties this morning because your reaction to the Katy Britt response was exactly the same one that I had. That this was normal for Katy Britt because you know we're used to the way she is and being. And it just goes to my point that I made in my speech in my panel discussion about journalism at the LibertyCon earlier in February. That if you need to read consume multiple news sources and you need to get as local as possible. Because your local sources know your issues the first, best, and the most in depth. And then secondly, this nonsense about her being in the kitchen. Come on, people. A lot of women I know are extremely proud of their kitchen and love showing off their kitchen and love being in their kitchen. As a matter of fact, my best friend, I've seen my best friend literally get on her hands and knees and scrub her tile floor on her in her kitchen with a toothbrush. So just so that the lady that comes and cleans her kitchen can come and clean her kitchen.
Yeah,
that's how extreme pride a lot of women that I know take in their kitchen.
Yeah, thanks, David. Good points. And I know a lot of husbands I know want to rip their hair out because redoing the kitchen costs them $20,000.
Is David best friends with Cinderella? She's scrubbing her kitchen floor with a toothbrush? Yeah, and that's I guess that's the problem that a lot of women have with it is that... I don't know. I just think, what is this, 1940? I'm talking about a kitchen. There's more. I'm not going to have this whole glass ceiling discussion again. It's absolutely ridiculous at this point. Gardner says she just needs to be more conversational so she doesn't come across like an actor. I agree with that. Her voice was kind of, at times, during her campaign, annoying. But that was like 17 minutes of it on Thursday night. And Gardner continued, I'm afraid Katie blew her audition. I expect we'll see another audition by others. Gnome, Mace, Stefanik, Carrie Lake. It would be interesting to see how they would have done instead of Katie Britt. But I'm a home team guy, man. Yeah. I mean, if there's a potential that we could have a vice president nominee and that VP come from Alabama, someone who is really well known to our audience and talks with this station, I mean, it would be ridiculous to not root for her to get that job.
And just root for her because she's a good person.
Good person, yeah.
She had that one controversy she addressed on Fox yesterday about she was talking about a woman who was sex trafficked when she was 12 years old and crossed the border. And the New York Times says she was trying to blame it on Trump where the timeline doesn't match up. And here was Britt.
Well, who told me about when she was trafficked when she was 12. So I didn't say a teenager. I didn't say a young woman, a grown woman, a woman when she was trafficked when she was 12. And so listening to her story, she is a victim's right advocate who is telling this is what drug cartels are doing. This is how they're profiting off of women. And it is disgusting. And so I am hopeful that it brings some light to it and we can actually do something about human trafficking and that's what the media actually decides to cover.
Okay. Yeah, so she was talking about that they take this one corner of it and say she was out of bounds because she tried to tie it to Biden. What she's trying to tie it to Biden is the larger picture of drug trafficking and that is going on right now, that is going on both sides of the border.
One of the best takes I saw from this weekend was who the Republicans should have had as the response instead of Katie Britt. And they said this would have actually been a really great response to Biden's State of the Union would have been from Biden himself. This was Biden's response to a George Bush State of the Union. They said if Republicans would have just played this back, it would have done a lot. Listen to this. This was Biden responding to George Bush a long time ago.
To put it in very personal terms for a moment, Joe Biden, me, I would settle for a world in which I could worry about the same kinds of things that my parents worried about, in which I only had to worry about the grades my children got in school rather than the drugs they're being exposed to, in which I only had to worry about the prices my wife had to pay at the supermarket instead of fearing that she might get mugged by a junkie in the parking lot as she loads her groceries into the car, in which tonight I could call my mom just to wish her pleasant dreams, not for the purpose of making sure she's safe in her own home. That's the kind of world I want. That's the kind of world you deserve. In a nutshell, the president's plan doesn't include enough police officers to catch the violent thugs, not enough prosecutors to convict them, not enough judges to sentence them, and not enough prison cells to put them away for a long time.
How about that?
Incredible. That's back in the 80s?
90s, I think. And interestingly, his lifelong stutter, non-existent in his State of the Union response there.
That was a hardline Republican there, but that was Joe Biden.
Yeah.
830 FM Talk 106.5. We'll keep you up on the text line, 251-343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Right now we head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. I know you got some great deals on some vehicles over there at McConnell for the month of March.
That's right. All the bosses are gone this week, so we're going to be giving cars away.
It's that easy.
Y'all want some? That's right. Y'all want a great deal? Come on by, man. Gene's not going to miss a deal, I promise you. He'll be the boss all week, and we're going to let him sell a few cars. But we got a great selection of used. You can check the stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And like I said the other day, we got some AT4 Yukons that aren't sold. Got some two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive Yukons that aren't sold. Got some Yukon XLs. Got a couple of Hummers in. We got a great selection of new trucks, so three-quarter tons and half tons, diesels and gas. So we're just a one-stop shop. We got all this new stuff and used stuff up front, and if you wreck it, we'll fix them in the body shop back there.
Yeah, and you know I like those AT4s, but I'm at the site right now looking at those 23 Sierras, and those are hot too.
That's right, and we got just got a couple of those left. I got a up to $8,000 off on those. So, like I said, we're going to move some metal this week, so come on by and see us.
All right, we appreciate it, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all.
That's the man, Louie Arata. You'll want to go see him at McConnell Automotive, and they're located on Dauphin Street just east of I-65, and that website he was talking about, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Some texts you wanted to get to real quick here.
Yeah, so let's run through some of these texts. A lot of takes on Katie Britt, and we'll move past this after today unless something else comes down. Gardner says, the vice president obviously has to be someone who can appeal to the independent women who are so turned off by Trump's personality. Yeah, I agree completely, and I think that, you know, for a sizable portion of that audience, despite what a lot of the liberal commentators and even a lot of people on the right are saying, I think she did that. Maybe not as well as she could have, but she did that.
I think given more chances, she can do that.
This texter says, I have not heard Katie Britt speak before. I tend to vote Republican, but do not particularly like Donald Trump. I listened to her speech and loved it. The first time I heard that she had bombed was on Breitbart News and a couple of other conservative commentators. They joined a loud chorus of expected leftist criticism. Why do conservatives always eat their own? Are they gaslighted by liberal media just as Democrats? I think they do, and I think that there's a lot of quote-unquote conservative political commentators who aren't conservative. I think they find a way they're going to make a lot of money being these social media influencers, MAGA influencers, and when it comes down to it, they don't stand behind those same issues. They just know what to say and to say it publicly. And it is a real problem. Anytime the harshest criticism of the youngest female Republican in the Senate is coming from the right, maybe that's something that should be done behind closed Republican doors, right?
Not giving the
left more ammo.
They want their voice to be heard on this because it was so obvious that a lot of people were not fans of the speech. So they saw it coming and they got ahead of it and said, yeah, me too. But I don't know. I think she gets past all this. I really do.
A couple more I want to get to here. This texter says, Katie Britt sounds great in conversation, but she sounds like a breathless evangelical preacher during speeches. For me, that's like nails on a chalkboard. Your friendly neighborhood banker texted in and said, Katie Britt's message was fine, and the kitchen thing is overblown, but she sounded like a fat person was sitting on her chest. It is what it is. I think it is what it is my take as well. I'm just, the response, a little out of hand on both sides. And you know what this has done? There's way fewer people talking about being yelled at by an angry old man for 77 minutes who was lying the entire time about a lot of different things.
I know. That was an amazing audio you played from Biden from
it was 35 years ago, so you were right. It would have been in the late 80s.
The first Bush, right?
Yeah, it was Biden's State of the Union response. But as someone noted, and exactly what I was thinking too, if the Republicans had played Biden's response from 35 years ago as the response to his State of the Union from the other night, there's so many stupid people out there that they would have said, oh, look, Biden is, he's become a real moderate. Like, not notice that this is the Biden from 35 years ago.
Those people don't know how to get to the polls.
Well, that's why they bring the polls to them.
Hmm. All right. So in the state of Maryland, illegal migrants are going to be able to buy health insurance in Maryland under a new bill that recently passed in the state's House and Senate. On Friday, the Maryland Senate approved the Access to Care Act on a party line vote of 34-13. So that's what the Senate looks like in Maryland. It's 34 Democrats and 13 Republicans. If you were wondering, now you know, because it was straight down that line.
Yeah.
The Maryland House previously passed a similar version of the legislation on a 101-34 vote in late February. Each chamber will need to vote to approve the others before the legislation can be sent to the governor, Wes Moore, who is a Democrat. So sources familiar with the legislation say that the bill would add additional costs to Maryland taxpayers. I could I could see that. And also Biden apologizing for calling the creep that murdered the poor girl in Athens, Georgia, an illegal.
Yeah.
He should have said undocumented, was on his point.
Yeah, so he...
come on.
That caused a stir this weekend as well, because it was notable Thursday night when Marjorie Taylor Greene finally got to Biden and said, say your name. And he, you know, wisely, I thought, took the pen from her and was about to pivot and say, this is a real problem. Of course, we know how that turned out Thursday night. He said, yeah, she was, and he said her name wrong. He said Lincoln Riley instead of Lincoln Riley. She was murdered by an illegal. And they said, but, you know, thousands of people are killed by illegals. Or it sounded like he said thousands of people killed by illegals all the time. I think what he was trying to say was thousands of people are killed by illegals, regardless, minimizing the death of this Georgia, medical student in Georgia. And then he looks up to the crowd and acts like he's talking to her family. Well, her family
wasn't there.
They, right. Threw that invitation away. They were at a Trump rally in Georgia on Saturday, but that same day, Saturday, Biden goes on a national interview and does apologize for using the term illegal. Here's that.
But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lincoln Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing, we have to control the border and a more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. After he spent 77 minutes Thursday night treating half of the country with the most disrespect, he's not going to do that to the illegal aliens.
So Jonathan Capehart, I don't know him, MSNBC, he's making a big deal, not of the murder. He's making a big deal over the way that President Biden...
The terminology?
The term that he used. And that was like, we got to take care of this before we go on, you know?
Yeah.
This thing is really bothering the heck out of me. I mean, Capehart is a fool. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that. And just, it's just troubling that the country is divided to the point where these talking points, many of them are all wrong on both sides.
Uh-huh.
And that poor girl was used by a bit of a prop by both sides on a national stage.
Yeah,
and I do wonder what the numbers were. You know, you always look at sports and you say, well, the Super Bowl got 110 million, whatever. The national championship game got 30 million, whatever. I don't know. Was the nation really fixated with that telecast?
32 million. 32 million people watched it, according to the numbers that came in. That was up 18% from last year. Of course, this is an election year, and a lot more issues on hand for the American people. But it is absolutely ridiculous that's where the fight is.
Yeah.
That over the terminology used, not the fact that millions of third world immigrants are being, you know, brought here. And it's clear what the Democrats are doing. There was just a vote on this last week.
Yeah.
That they're going to continue to count, illegal aliens in the census, which, sure, technically, they're not allowed to vote, although some liberal enclaves would rather they be allowed to vote, these illegally aliens.
Careful what you wish for.
But that gives the Democrats a lot more seats in these districts where the immigrants come to, right? Yeah. So they end up with more congressional representation, and then you end up shifting the balance of power. And then when you have the courts shifting congressional boundaries like they did in Alabama and Georgia, and they did in Ohio, several battleground states and Alabama, then you can see how things are shifting on the national scale. So they're worried about this terminology, but it wasn't that long ago that Democrats were saying the exact same thing that Republicans are saying now.
I want to give the audience just a quick heads up on this. You're going to hear what sounds like that's the voice of Chuck Schumer. Why are those words coming up? Just like you heard from Biden before we went to the news break.
Yeah.
It's and this is not that long ago, right?
2009.
Chuck Schumer in 2009.
So year one of the Barack Obama presidency. This is Chuck Schumer speaking at Georgetown Law. And there's some silly circus music underneath. I wish I could take it out. But this is the Chuck Schumer. Same one today that probably is going to act like he took issue with what Biden said on Thursday night when he used the term illegal.
If you're a hater of most politicians, here's why.
People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally. Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. Until the American people are convinced that we will stop future flows of illegal immigration, we will make no progress on dealing with the millions of illegal immigrants who are here now. When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration, which the American people overwhelmingly oppose. If you don't think it's illegal, you're not going to say it. I think it is illegal and wrong.
Wow. That wasn't Ted Cruz. That was Chuck Schumer. And it wasn't long ago. It was 15 years ago.
It's amazing. Both those clips we need to keep around for whatever, because that just, again, I think that also shows you just simply the larger picture of politics. Mm-hmm. That's mind-blowing. And now they have no shame. They have no shame. They don't worry about what they said. If you know, who's going to dig that up?
Right.
Well, somebody did. And so they look into the camera. In the case of Biden, looked into the face of the nation with 30 million watching the other night and increased his volume to somehow, you know, I don't know what that act was all about.
Yeah.
But he was yelling all night.
It was
night.
Like he didn't think he had a microphone.
Exactly. And so he probably thought he was in a black church. That's what, according to Biden, that's where he spent most of his first right. 80 years on the planet.
Yeah, when he wasn't trucking across the country with his father's business.
Exactly.
Right?
Say anything to make the point that you want to make at this moment in time. That is what politicians do, and it's a joke.
Yeah, and you can find Republicans saying things that they directly dispute now.
Yeah.
And I know things change. But that's the game, right?
Yeah.
And then so this is also why, as passionate as I sound about this, and I am passionate about the border. I'm passionate about a lot of things that I think they're doing wrong. But if you put your day-to-day life on the line for these sickos, for how you feel about them and what they're saying and what they're doing, you're the loser in all of this. You got to believe what you believe in, be upset about what's going on, but you can't let it affect your day-to-day because these people are slime.
Yeah, and I'm afraid that they're not just on one side of the aisle, and it's just we can look at what is being said right now, but I also feel like the Democrats, they're fracturing a little bit too because there are just so many Democrats who just feel like their party's left them. I mean, all these far left agendas.
Yep.
They're looking around like this was not my party at all. And John McWhorter, again, it's somebody that I quote, I talk about anyway, but he seems to be a conservative in the podcast I listen to, but because of what he says and what he feels, he has a conversation with another black gentleman, and so they come off as like they're both very conservative, but what McWhorter is saying is, no, I dispute that, but I'm not, I don't take everything and say, yep, bring it on. I agree. Now I want to hear more.
Yeah.
He's got a stopgap there in his life, like you say. You can be bothered by everything that's going on, but you don't have to buy into it all, and he doesn't.
Yeah, and, you know, it seems like the ball is teed up there for the Republicans, but we're busy arguing about where Katie Britt's response was filmed.
Yeah,
in the kitchen. Talk about shooting yourself in your own foot.
Hmm. 850, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect partly cloudy to mostly cloudy skies today with temperatures in the upper 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the lower 40s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with afternoon readings in the lower 70s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Special guest for the Jeff Poor Show today.
That's correct. Brian Dawson, 1819 News. He will be guest hosting the Jeff Poor Show today. And Jeff adding another little one to the family. So they're going to have to get four tickets when they go to Auburn games now. Congrats, Jeff. Hope everything goes well. And
go broke rooting for that team, isn't he?
Tomorrow you got, I think, April Marie Fogle will be guest hosting. And then on Wednesday, Scott Buttram. And we'll hopefully have Jeff back by the end of the week. By the way, if you're an Auburn fan, they did get the two-round bye for the SEC tournament. So they will play on Friday at 2:30, which means immediately after Midday Mobile Friday, we'll have the Auburn pregame show as Tennessee dusts whoever they're playing, and then Auburn will come on right after that.
Ah,
did you catch what
confident.
I said there?
Yeah, then? Very, very confident. All right, so doesn't have Matt on the text line, says this country needs an enema. Also, King of Unnamed Texters says, when you played the Schumer thing and it had the circus music behind it, he said, I found the music appropriate, actually.
So, it is all a big circus.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's see. Larry in Atmore texts in, the reason over 30 million watched was for the same reason many watch a NASCAR race, waiting for the big wreck. Yeah, that's part of the reason I was watching for sure, to see how Biden, he overperformed the low bar that he was given, but he shouted at us for 77 straight minutes. So, yeah, I guess you can't complain when you ask him to do one thing and then he ends up going to the completely other end of the spectrum. Moz says the only crime that is 100% preventable are crimes committed by illegal immigrants. If they are kept from crossing illegally, they can't commit a crime. That's correct. The states that are letting career violent criminals out of jail time and time again, I'd say that's also preventable. But this texter, can you imagine the adrenaline rush Katie Britt was experiencing? She did a good job considering the pressure she was under. And I agree. There was an immense amount of pressure on Katie Britt to do something that she had not done before. It's a totally different situation when you are it, when it's not a conversation being bounced back and forth. And listen, I know she's done campaign speeches. She's talked on the air with a lot of different people, but this was a completely different situation.
Yeah, and I was at an event downtown. It turned out it was a smaller event than I had figured it was going to be. It was really close quarters, small group of Katie Britt supporters in Mobile at that time, and it was on a parade route. It was right downtown at a business downtown. So I was invited to it because we had her on the air. She was coming
during the
down.
Campaign.
She said,
yeah,
"Come on down to this." So she gave me the invitation. You know, I can just tell you, just talking with her, being around her, she's a solid lady and very personable and very in the moment. Where someone's talking, she's listening intently to what you have to say. And she's, we've all agreed that there's part of her. Part of her presentation sounds a little bit like she's trying out for a play. And it got put on the national stage. She didn't ask for that opportunity. That's the way if she can round that off just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I saw her do that on Sunday on Fox News. And like I say, you watch the people, they take a hit. She took a pretty good hit. She was up and at him. She was just fine, and I think that says a lot about her.
And by the way, speaking of flip-floppers, and we talked about how this happens on both sides of the aisle, the vote on whether to force China to divest from TikTok, that's supposed to come this week in the House of Representatives. Remember, you had Vivek Ramaswamy calling TikTok digital fentanyl.
Yeah.
You had Trump, who was very much against TikTok. Well, one of TikTok's largest owners is Jeff Yass, one of the biggest donors to the GOP, and $33 billion of his net worth is connected to TikTok. All of a sudden, a lot of Republicans are against banning the app when just a few months ago, it was the worst thing in America.
Isn't that amazing? It's not amazing. It's simple. It's simple math.
Follow the money.
$33 billion, yeah. Dan and Dalton, back with you tomorrow beginning at 6 a.m. on Mobile Mornings.